Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And I want to begin this morning with the news that there's 300,000 households in arrears on their electricity bill in May of this year. The figures, which are the highest in recent history, also show that 175,000 people are behind on their gas bills. For more, I'm joined by, by Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, and by Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil TD for Wicklow, Wexford, and member of the Oireachtas Climate, Environment and Energy Committee. Good morning to both of you. Lynn Boylan, can I start with you, please, because this information comes after or following a question from you to Minister Dara O'Brien. What more detail did you get?
Well, I think it shows a very alarming situation where we have the record numbers of people who are in arrears with their electricity bill and the third highest ever number of households in arrears with their domestic gas bills. So it shows very clearly the cost of living crisis hasn't gone away and that the government needs to be doing far more to help people. And it also coincides with only a few weeks ago, the regulator saying that in its network charges review, that households and small businesses will see their bills increase, while large energy users, the cause of the need for most of this grid infrastructure upgrades, will actually see their bills decrease. So this is about political choices, and clearly people are struggling. They can see it in their grocery bills, they see it in their electricity bills. They need help from the government in this coming budget.
300,000 households in arrears. What about small businesses? Was there a figure for them?
There was. There's 27,400 small, medium-sized businesses that are in arrears, and we know that those small businesses are really struggling. And again, they're going to see their bills increase because of the network charges review that was carried out by the regulator. Like we've been calling for years now for the government to not just, I suppose, about the energy credits, which are a sort of emergency stopgap, but that they needed to do a lot more reform of the energy system and the market so that people, that it was fairer for households and for small businesses. Okay. And they've ignored those calls for years, which is why we're saying that the energy credits need to be in this year's budget.
We'll come to solutions in a second. I just want to diagnose or see if we can diagnose the problem properly. How deep are those arrears? Have you any information on how many months in arrears these households are?
This is another bugbear of mine, Philip, because we look across the water to Ofgem, which is the regulator in Britain, and they give far more granular detail around the level of arrears that people are in, the length of time of arrears that households are in. We've repeatedly called for our own regulator to do that. In fact, even the fact that the regulator is now supposed to be producing the arrears data on a monthly basis was thanks to myself when I was on the Oireachtas Climate Committee. I asked that the committee would support a call for the regulator to produce more timely monthly data on arrears so that we could track. Previous to that, it was very haphazard when we were getting the data on arrears.
So the situation is that we could be in the midst of a really bad crisis with people 3 or 4 or even more months in arrears, or it could just be a case of when electricity bills are low in the summer, people deferring their bills and only being a month in arrears.
Well, I think what you're looking at is that it's consistently going up year on year. So people are really struggling. While we don't have that granular data, we know the direction of travel is in the wrong direction, that more households are in arrears on their bill this year than they were last year. So clearly the cost of living crisis has not gone away and people need help. And my gut feeling is from talking to people, you'll see it yourself, Philip, people are telling you that their grocery bills have gone through the roof. And I imagine that, you have to put food on the table so that you pay that, and then that leaves you far less money in your pocket then to deal with all those other bills that are coming in.
Okay. Malcolm Byrne, Fianna Fáil TD for Wicklow Wexford, is also on the line, as I said. As Lynn Boylan is saying there, Malcolm, cost of living crisis hasn't gone away, but cost of living supports have.
Well, good morning, Philip. And first of all, just before I might respond, I might also pay tribute to the late Sean Rocks, who was a superb broadcaster and a great advocate for the arts, and certainly for the arts community, he will be missed. To respond directly to your question, in terms of what government has been doing, and yes, the cost of living crisis hasn't gone away, even though the rate of inflation is coming down. Certainly, I know, as every other public rep knows, that people are feeling the costs, particularly when it comes to grocery bills and energy costs. So what is the government doing? Well, over the last number of budgets, as Lynn indicated, there were the energy credits that were introduced. The reduced VAT rate on energy at 9% has been extended. We've seen a smart meter rollout, which ensures that households and businesses can more efficiently control their electricity supply. But certainly in the context of this budget, it is one of the issues that's been examined. There is an energy affordability task force that's currently looking at what measures need to be put in place for winter 2025-26. And it says these are the short-term solutions. What we also need to look at, and part of our challenge is that we're continuing to import energy. We've got to look at both strengthening the grid, which we would have seen this year.
We have to look elsewhere. We have to look elsewhere for cheaper energy, and that's a conversation for another day, because we want to deal specifically with the tyranny of the now and this increase.
You cannot get reduced. I mean, if we're going to, in the long term, have energy security plus have reduced costs that we can have greater control over our own costs, we can't be relying on imported energy all the time. And that's why, yes, one, we've got to improve the grid and we have to invest in the grid. So that's why there was a 3.5 billion euro
investment. And that's a much more comfortable conversation for the government to be having, not so comfortable to be dealing with, as Lynn Boylan is pointing out, the fact that in spite of all of the measures that you have just outlined there, the number of households in arrears is increasing year on year.
Yes, and I accept that. And by the way, I would agree with Lynn in terms of the, you know, to make more data publicly available. The more data that we can have that's out there, the more it can inform this debate. But the fact that we have a strong economy means that the government is in a position in the budget to try to be able to provide supports to households, whether it's on energy costs or cost of living, which we've seen in the last few budgets. It is a more difficult economic situation this year. We are aware, and you know, you would have heard recently Minister Jack Chambers and Minister Pascal Donoghue talking about the financial package. And part of that is going to be around incentives to deal with cost of living and cutting taxes, particularly for those in low and middle income. But actually, you know, it's not an either or that we don't just address the short term. One of the challenges that we've got to face is about ensuring that we have a
I want to draw you back to the here and the now, though, I'm afraid, Malcolm, and the choices that are being made by this government. A tax credit to five-star hotels, yes, to other areas of the hospitality sector, but to five-star hotels that could cost up to €1 billion while more and more people are slipping into electricity arrears.
Well, I think, and you know, you would have heard my colleague Niall Collins talking about where our priorities need to be. Yes, we need to support those small businesses that are in difficulty. I'm personally not in favour of extending it to you know, the hotel sector. I think we need to look at, you know, any of the tax reliefs that do become available, that they need to be targeted, particularly at those in lower and middle income brackets who are struggling with the cost of living, who are, you know, getting up, who are working hard, but are finding that costs are still going against them. So we do need to provide those supports there. The fact that we have a strong economy, which is taken for granted quite often, allows us to be able to do that in this budget. I mean, if we compare what's going on, for instance, in Britain at the moment, where they're talking about welfare cuts by a Labour government, in France, where the government there is talking about things like getting rid of national holidays, at least because we continue to have a strong economy in Ireland, we are able to make those choices. Yes, we won't be able to do everything in the budget, but certainly for those who are struggling dealing with cost of living issues, we need to address it. But I know, Philip, you don't want to talk about it, but there's stuff as well, like the private wires bill, which will allow
companies. I'm not saying it's not pertinent, but I do have to focus the conversation here a little bit. Lynn Boylan, universal energy credits might have been of some help, but they were also incredibly wasteful.
Well, I will answer that question, Phil, but can I just go back to what Malcolm was saying about political choices? And the point is that this government has made a choice with the network charges that households and small businesses, those small businesses that Malcolm has just said is struggling, the households we know are clearly struggling, are going to see increases in their bills by about 21% to fund the grid infrastructure. While those data centres, which are the primary cause of the need for the grid infrastructure upgrades, are going to see their network charges come down. So that's a political choice that was made around how the fairness of the grid infrastructure. We all know the grid needs the infrastructure, it needs the investment, but there are political choices about who funds that or who shoulders the biggest proportion of that. In relation to the energy credits, yes, they are universal and they are costly, but we argued when the first round of energy credits came in a number of years back, we brought forward amendments that would have excluded second homes and holiday homes and second houses. The government rejected those amendments and it took a year before they agreed with us and then introduced it, which was a saving of 40 million per year. They could have saved that 40 million in the first year if they had listened to us. We've also called for very targeted measures such as expanding the fuel allowance so that more low-income households are brought into that, an expansion of the universal discretionary fund for people who go to the likes of St Vincent de Paul for help with their utility bills. But also for 5 years, this government had an energy poverty steering group and energy poverty has gone in the wrong direction. Okay. They've now replaced that with an affordability task force. But what they're not doing is listening to the clear measures that can be taken. Give the regulator the power to look at the hedging practices of electricity companies that are making huge profits. Fix the network charges so that those who are using more electricity actually subsidise the grid more than those who are households who are struggling, and those small businesses as well who are clearly struggling.
And your remedy does not include universal energy credits. You're ruling that out.
No, we have in this, but we would be calling for 3 energy credits in the budget
because for everybody.
But yes, because people are hurting.
No, but hang on a second. Does any of the 3 people in this conversation need an energy credit this winter?
But Philip, it's very hard to design an energy credit that is based on people's income. But people are hurting now. So the fastest way you can get money into their pocket. But what we have said for the last 5 years is reform the system and make the electricity system much more fair. And the government have ignored that. They hoped the prices would just come down and that the situation would go away. So in the short term, yes, we need those energy credits to get them into people's houses immediately because we know people are struggling. You can find other ways to then recoup that money through income tax, which is a progressive method. But the issue is they've ignored all of our measures that we have called for repeatedly that other European countries have done to make electricity bills fairer. And that's why we have the second highest electricity costs in the EU.
But Lynn Boylan, you don't really think that it is beyond the ability of the revenue commissioners now to identify people at a certain income threshold and say, we can give an energy credit and assistance to those people and not to anybody else. Is Sinn Féin just afraid of drawing that line somewhere?
No, the issue is that they go straight to the electricity supplier and the revenue is separate to that. So, I mean, like, if they want to come forward with proposals that would look at doing it in that way, fine. But the issue is that we need to get money back into people's pockets because they are struggling now and those energy credits need to be in this budget. The government had 5 years to reform the system. They've ignored that. As I said, they ignored our calls to exclude second homes and holiday homes for the first year. They then listened to us and changed their mind on that and saved 40 million. So we were coming forward with solutions all the time. But they do need to deal with the systemic issues around the electricity costs in this country because they can fix that.
Did you do enough in government, Malcolm Byrne, to address the inflated profit taking of the energy companies?
Well, first of all, I would just say that the political choices that have been made, and in reference to it, is around the investment in electricity infrastructure, because the one way that we are going to be able to control prices in the future is when we are able to have a state-of-the-art grid being powered by green electricity. And that's why I make the point that the most important decision that's been made on energy security this week was the decision to invest 3.5 billion in the grid, And we need to achieve our targets in terms of onshore wind, solar, and offshore wind.
I would imagine that the 300,000 households.
What I want to say in terms of the political choices that have been made over the last number of years, for all of those households who did benefit from the energy credits, and I agree with Lynn, by the way, that it can be difficult to target and link it to income. It's much easier, you know, to look at people's electricity bills, and that is being considered. But I'll make the point about the only tax measure that Sinn Féin has come up with proposing so far this year, which is in the budget, is to abolish the local property tax. So they haven't yet said where the 600 million that is going to cost is going to come from. What we're doing is we're looking at, in terms of the Energy Affordability Task Force, what are the best ways to provide support to those families and businesses that are struggling. Over the last number of years, it has been in the area of energy credits. But in the long term, what it has to be is about being able to invest in our electricity infrastructure. And by the way, also, and I know Lynn's totally opposed to data centres. No, but we do need to invest in data centres because our digital services and data-driven activities, is critical that we have those data centres.
Why are they seeing their bills go down, their network charges decrease, and households and small businesses seeing theirs increase to fund the grid infrastructure?
Data centres still pay. No. And actually, the 3.5 billion infrastructure is part of the national. Yeah, but their bills are still far higher than anything in the case of households.
And they've increased their electricity use by 400% since 2015.
And
I'm saying they should pay for the grid that they are using.
And I totally agree with you. And that's why data centers do pay more because they're using more. But equally, that's part of the reason as to why the private wires bill is being introduced this autumn, which will allow large energy users. And by the way, not just data centers. This would be open to companies and possibly to large organizations to build their own energy providers that won't just be relying on the ESB. That's going to be something that's critical. We know as a rapidly growing society and economy, we need to generate more energy. Okay. And that's why the key emphasis has to be on investing in the grid and on meeting our onshore, offshore and solar targets.
There's no disagreement on that in investing in the grid and increasing our onshore and offshore renewable energies. The issue is who is paying for it. And the choice that's been made is that the data centres are going to see their network charges come down and households and small businesses will see theirs increase by 21%. And the PSO levy, which funds the renewable energies, is designed in a way that data centres pay disproportionately less than households.
Lynn Boylan, thank you very much.
Malcolm, please, ladies, gentlemen.
We already have your response to that particular one and we're now beginning to go round in circles. Malcolm Byrne and Lynn Boylan, thank you both very much for your take on that.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.